Welcome to the Influence Community Podcast.
We are your hosts, Danielle and Alyssa.
We talk about all things influencing and the ever-changing industry.
We share a lot of tips, our personal experiences, and how to keep up with the social media space that's always evolving.
We also love to chit-chat and share life updates along the way.
We're so happy you're here and so excited for this week's episode.
Grab your drink of choice and let's dive in.
Hey guys.
Hi queens.
Welcome back to the pod. We are so excited this week because we have a guest for you. We have our Canadian girlie. You guys might recognize her from our Coachella stories because we stayed together that weekend and we had so much fun. And I feel like she just has so much, like such a cool story and so much information to share. We thought we would bring her on to the podcast for you guys. So this week we have Gretzi. Hi, Gretzi. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm really, really excited. And it's funny that you say that you feel like I have cool things to share because I feel like that's the exact same thing that I feel about you girls. Like, I'm like, oh, I'm just this like blogger from Canada. And you guys are like, you do so many cool things. I'm like, what, really? So yeah. It's just funny how it's like completely like we think the same. So I'm excited to be on and chat with you girls.
Okay. Oh, love that. First of all, I have to ask you, what is your lip combo right now? Because it's literally stunning.
Yeah, you know what? I tried this combo yesterday and I was like, oh, I actually really like it. So it's Makeup Forever. Ooh. Let me see if I have it here. The liner is Total Anywhere. Taupe. It's very like cool based. Yeah, it's very cool. Like it looks a little bit gray and scary when you put it on. I'm a big like lip liner and then a gloss person. Even when I did your makeup, Alyssa, like I don't really use lipstick. I am all about contouring the lip with the liner. And then the gloss that I put on, it's this Buxom one. I love their plumpers. What is this? This is their full-on plumping lip cream, and the shade is in Dolly. So oh, yeah, wow. I just you love like a right brown there. Lip liner, diffuse it, and then plop it with either like a lip tint or a lip gloss that has like a pink undertone. And then it just looks like really natural, and it like fades really nice through the day.
Yeah,
it looks our knowledgeable queen.
So good. I know. We're going to dive into Gretzi's story and everything, but she is a makeup artist. So I feel like whenever she posts any makeup things, I'm always taking notes or I'm like, oh my gosh, what's this? I need it. But before we dive in, we always ask our guests, and we do this on every episode, an influence of the week. It can literally be anything. It could be a person, a product, an item, literally anything. So Danielle, do you want to start with what's currently influencing you?
Yes. And I don't think I've said this yet because I actually am. I felt like we should have Gretzi on. And then when I had that in my head, I saved it for this. Okay. It is scrambled eggs.
Oh, you guys, this is Gretzi lore. Like, this is what we're talking about.
I'm dying.
And you guys at Coachella, okay, Gretzi, you might have seen it. She has this viral video about how to make scrambled eggs, and she taught us firsthand at Coachella.
Like a tutorial.
And, yes, a tutorial. It's so easy, but I've never made them like this, and I'm not even joking you. I think I, like, slid up and said that, like, my husband says thank you because that's the only way I make it now, and he loves my eggs now, so...
It's life changing.
It actually is. Like, it made me like eggs again. Like, I don't know. It just made me like them a lot more. So
I feel like it gives, like, a fresh twist on them because they're still, like, scrambled. But for some reason, they just taste way better. So we'll share that viral video of hers to our podcast story okay, we'll so you guys can know what we're referencing. But yeah, so she's literally famous and has gone viral for her scrambled eggs.
Every day, 3 to 4 eggs a day. I had mine like an hour ago.
Okay, love that. Having mine after this. And you know how people call things like marry me chicken? Like marry me something? Like these are like marry me eggs.
Yeah,
like they're marry me eggs.
Honestly, that's good. Maybe I'll get like a second wedding that I want. Like, I love my wedding, and I want to do it again. So I'm like, here we go.
Honestly, same.
Love that.
But yes, that is my influence. What about you, Alyssa?
Mine is, okay, obviously since we had Gretzi on, I was like, it has to be Gretzi related. Okay. And when she did my makeup in Palm Springs, you guys, I posted on my stories and it was so stunning. And I think what really made a difference, or what I could tell, was literally the base and the prep of everything she did before she did my makeup. So just like anything she used, whatever. So we're going to dive into it more. So I don't want to talk too much about it, but I bought the eye serum from her brand, and it's truly like a game changer. I've never been really an eye serum person, or I feel like I don't really show my eyes enough love. I feel like that part kind of gets skipped over. But then when she did my makeup, I was like, wait a second, she's definitely onto something here. So then I was like, okay. So I have the eye serum, and it's literally like the only eye serum I've ever used, I think. So I love it, and it's so good. But like, I feel like, yeah, the prep for your makeup is so important. So I feel like that's kind of my influence, is just like making sure your skin is like good and ready to go to hold the makeup. And it just looks so much better, like so much more flawless. And she taught me that. So I feel like everyone says that, but like when she was actually doing it and like explaining, because when she did my makeup, I was like, can you just like explain every single step that you're doing and why? So like I can understand and like get it. And so she did. And I was like, wow, that like really made a difference. So That is my influence.
I love that. Oh my gosh. I'm like, well, now I feel horrible that my influence of the week is not either of you.
No.
We didn't even plan that.
No, literally.
No, I love that. That's really sweet. It's so good. But okay, yeah,
what's yours, Christy?
Yeah, my influence of the week, I feel like, especially because I've just like recently, you know, launched this brand, I'm trying to just like diversify who I follow online, listening to like more podcasts and stuff. Just some like, okay, I got to get like my business cap on a little bit more. And so I would say that my influence of the week, which is like really funny, and I feel like you girls will really appreciate it, especially Danielle, the major fashionista. Like, I feel like me and Alyssa, we have really similar style, like more like simple, edgy. But I feel like Danielle is like more like gets into trying like new fun things. So my influence of the week is, you guys know Castamico. She's like the founder of Orium Collective. Yeah. So I've been like listening. I listened to like a podcast she was on like probably a couple weeks ago when I was on my trip. And it was just like about her business and how she started, and just playing into like how her fashion is like very simple, but she like elevates it through accessories. Mm-hmm. So this week, my like influence of the week is, I'm like, she has such a good point. She made a point, like, I knew who I wanted to like become. So I was like, I need to start dressing like her. And I'm like, that's exactly what I got to do. So I actually made a TikTok, and I was like, I'm looking for someone that lives near me, that is like down to help me redo my closet, because like, this is not my expertise. Like, I'm always wearing the same thing: pants, a blazer, and like a crop tank top. So I'm like, who can help me out? So I literally have a stylist coming to my house tonight, and we are going to like go through my entire closet. And I want to just like redefine like my personal style and brand, just to kind of not necessarily change my style, but just like elevate it like through accessories, not just being like lazy about it. So yeah, that's my influence of the week, because obviously I have the makeup down. I also need to really play on my hair game. I'm also really boring with my hair, so that's like another goal of mine. But yeah, she's my influence of the week, because nothing she wears is crazy, and she's like very functional with her fashion, but she always looks so chic and put together, and I like just love her overall vibe, and she's obviously a very intelligent businesswoman too. So yeah.
I love that. Wait, I feel like I want to do that.
I know, right?
And yeah, also, so you know how you should make some videos about it. Like, I have a
stylist coming over. That's what I'm
going to
do. I think I'm going to create like a series of like rebranding like my persona, because I'm sure other people feel the same way. Like, I'm just so tired of just like going for like the same things, or like looking. I feel like my friends just like know now what I'm going to wear if I show up to something. And I'm like, I need to put more effort into this year and not just be able to like the makeup every time.
On their toes.
So yeah, that's my influence of the week. She's awesome.
Love that. Okay, I'm gonna cool. Was she on a podcast, or was this her podcast?
She was on a podcast. I really like this podcast. It's called Female Founder World. Cool. And this lady, she's like Australian based, but she has some like amazing people and a lot of like American people on her podcast. So yeah, this one is pretty recently. Like, I like her podcast because she literally asks the questions that like no one will ask. Like, she'll be like, what was like your revenue? How much did you spend on this? Like, she is very direct, and I like her guests because they're completely down to share, and it's really valuable. And I actually learned a lot from that podcast in launching my brand, honestly. So yeah, Female Founder World. You guys need to check it out.
Okay. Awesome. I'm going to add that to my list for podcasts.
I love podcasts like that.
Amazing. I feel like those were all really good influences this week.
Yeah.
Okay, but I feel like we should dive in because I just feel like we have so much to talk about, catch up on, and just there's so much to say about everything you're doing. So I feel like for our audience who maybe doesn't know you, we can just go into like a background on your career with content creation and like the makeup industry, like how you got into it, you know, just how'd you start? Did you go to college and get a degree? Did you not, you know? How did you get into both industries and just a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'll try to like sum it up because the story is like really long and confusing because like it wasn't ever a part of the plan. But yeah, my whole goal growing up and like what we've been kind of raised to do in my family is like you go to school, you go to university, you get a job and, you know, kind of pick your poison, if you will. So I went to university for accounting. My dad is a CPA. So the whole kind of like thing in my mind and for my family was like, oh, you should become an accountant like your dad. You can take over his practice. And then, you know, you're just kind of like set with a career for life. So that's the route that I did. And it was into my first year of university. I was complaining to one of my girlfriends how I was so tired going to work. I was so tired going to school full time Monday to Friday. And then I'd be serving late Friday and Saturday night. I don't know if either of you, I'm sure people listening to this have worked a serving job. It's like very demanding and exhausting, but you of course want to work on the weekends because that's when you can make the best money. And so she had actually been like freelancing as a makeup artist. And this was 10 years ago, back when like not many people really were a makeup artist. Never mind, was it like ever going to be a career for sure, at least in Canada. And so she was like, oh, you should take a makeup course and then quit your serving job. And then you should start freelancing with me. And then you can just work like Saturday mornings and we can do wedding parties together. And then you kind of like have your evenings like freed up and it's very like consistent kind of workflow and schedule. And I was like, thanks and no thanks. Growing up, I was not a big makeup wearer. I wasn't even allowed to wear mascara until grade 9. So I definitely was like not that girl in my friend group, never mind in high school or university, that was like the glam queen. Like everybody else was. I was kind of more simple and like a little bit maybe like tomboyish, even if you will. And so I was like, yeah, thanks and no thanks. And then a couple days go by and my mom caught wind of this conversation. And she was like, well, why wouldn't you take a makeup course? And I was like, well, because like I wouldn't be good at it. Like I know nothing about makeup. And she was like, well, I'll pay for you to take the course. At least you'll learn how to do your own makeup. And if you decide that you like it enough or you're like you're good enough to like pursue it and make this kind of like, you know, a side job while you're in school, like what's to lose? So then I'm like, okay, I was 19. I'm like, well, if they're going to pay for it, I'm not going to say no. So I took this course with the mentality of honestly being like, okay, if I'm like good enough to even work for like a makeup brand, like in like, you know, an Ulta or a Sephora here in Canada, Shoppers, like, and be kind of like a rep for one of those brands, like that would be great. But like best case, if I actually, you know, ended up being good enough, then it would be cool to do like weddings and stuff with my friend. So I signed up for this course, not really much, you know, in my mind other than maybe it's a gateway to like quit working the restaurant industry. And within like an hour of being there, I was like, oh my gosh, it was just like my light bulb moment. And I realized that I really loved it and that I was actually technically like very good at it considering I had no experience at all. And so that was back in 2015. And this is kind of the era where like Instagram was just becoming a thing. Content creators, bloggers, like I don't think they really existed. Like I'm trying to think, I feel like back then, like if you wanted to be inspired by someone in beauty, it was like Carly Bible or like Desi Perkins on YouTube, you know? And so in this course, they were saying like, you know, to promote yourself, like, you know, the new crazes are saying like, rather than focusing on a website, you should make an Instagram account. And then that's where you'll post pictures of your clients. So, you know, no thought to it. I was like, okay, everybody was calling themselves makeup by and then their name. But everybody did that. And like my name's already like mispronounced all the time being Gretzy. So I didn't want to do makeup by Gretzy. So I just went with my initials, which is Gretzy Parth. So I just called myself GP Makeup, like literally no thought at all. And so, yeah, I finished this course. I applied for a makeup job with a company. I got it. So I did that. And then I also freelanced doing weddings and events with my girlfriend, Amy. And so that was kind of like what I did through my university degree. And then basically what happened throughout my degree, I kind of realized that through the power of Instagram and just showing up online with the focus of building like my local clientele, that I was actually making well over a full-time salary while also going to school full-time. And this was just by doing makeup like seasonally here in Canada. And so, yeah, by the end of my degree, I was like, sorry, Dad, I'm going to like kill your retirement plan. And I decided like I could always go back and become an accountant if I want. So I decided to pursue that and I've never looked back.
Amazing. That's so cool.
Yeah, so it wasn't a plan. Yeah, at like all.
Thanks, Mom. No, yeah, literally.
That's something I forgot to mention. She threatened me. She said, if you don't take the makeup course, I'm going to take it. And I knew what she was doing because I'm like, you're like, at this time, I think she was like in her like early 40s. Like, I'm like, why would you take a makeup course? Mm. Like, you know, but yeah,
she's
thanks,
like,
Mom,
I'm
honestly
paying for it and one of us is going. So
exactly. So yeah. She's like, it better be you. Yeah. Oh, so that's kind of like was my intro to the beauty industry, I guess you could say.
And then is that how you basically got into social media and started growing your accounts, was fully makeup based?
Basically, yeah. And so really what happened, and that was like something that was a big struggle of mine, and that kind of plays a lot into this new brand that I just created. But basically, you know, I was so obviously like focused in on where I live. So I'm from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Edmonton Oilers, we were in the Stanley Cup finals, which is like crazy.
Okay, I kept seeing you say go Oilers.
Yeah, go Oilers, right? Exactly. Okay. But there's not a whole lot going on here. Like really, if you want to be a makeup artist, like the bread and butter truly is just being like a bridal makeup artist. Like this isn't like Toronto or LA or Vancouver where people have a lot of wealth and like they prioritize like spending money on like getting glammed up just to like go for, you know, a girl's night out or a dinner or whatnot. But yeah, like what I really found through my degree when I was posting my clients is I very quickly got bored of just like posting my clients, right? Because it's kind of like, okay, here's the next Saturday. Gretzky did a bridal party of like 8 people. And then I'd post like all these people's like transformations before and afters. And like I got sick of it. And so it was kind of one of those things where I feel like that's when it was like the era of people learning what it means to actually start building like your personal brand. So I thought, okay, well, you know, especially being in a seasonal based industry, like I don't want to just, you know, post 6 months of the year and then not the other 6 months when we don't have a wedding season here at the time. So I started to kind of get into like, yeah, posting more me, like my beauty tutorials, this and that. And that's when I really started to grow my audience and in turn my clientele locally here. And so that was kind of the taste of, you know, I guess becoming a content creator at the same time, because then I don't know, I think I hit like 10,000 followers and, you know, L'Oreal is like, oh, we'd love to send you like the telescopic mascara. And I'm like, oh my God, this is so cool. Like my goal was like, oh, this would be great if I could just get free makeup while also servicing people and building my clientele. Then this is just straight cash at the end of the day because I could have all my supplies and tools paid for. So that was my goal. But I very quickly realized that like there was way more to obviously this industry than just getting PR that I could leverage to, you know, up my profit margins. And so, yeah, that itself was just kind of the era of being like, okay, I actually think I also love being a content creator. So they go hand in hand. They're very powerful.
Yeah, I love that. I love when you do videos on your Instagram of like doing your own makeup and just talking through it, but then how you also have people like send in videos of them doing their own makeup and then you help them and like break it down and give them tips and be like, oh, well, I would do this here, or I would change this, or the way you're holding the brush, or you need to use this product. Like, that's so cool. And I feel like other people learn too when you're kind of giving feedback to people. It's like, oh, I do that too, so maybe I should do that. Like, I feel like those videos are so educational. But I feel like as girls, like, we both have taken makeup classes here locally in San Diego because we were at a point where like, okay, we're going to these events. Like, we want to look like we got our makeup done without having to pay hundreds of dollars for it because it's really expensive in LA and San Diego. So we like took a makeup class and that literally changed the game for us. And I feel like we always encourage our listeners to, like, it's so worth investing in just learning how to do makeup for yourself and like what looks good on your skin tone and like your color palette and things like that. Cause I feel like when you go on TikTok and there's all these like beauty creators and you're watching, like if they don't have the same skin tone as you or the hair color or anything, or they're just using different shades, like it's just not going to translate the same when you do it on yourself. So like finding someone who has similar features to you or have someone teach you how to do it. So I feel like that just goes to show like investing in just learning how to do your makeup for yourself so you can just feel confident and feel good. And that literally opened an entire career path for you when your mom was like, go get your makeup done. Now when I have kids, I'm going to be like, go learn how to get your makeup done.
Yeah, right? 100%. Yeah, it's one of those things you don't know till you try. But yeah, to your point, and that is a good point that you raise, because even I think some people like – they're like, oh, well, I'm going to do my own makeup. Like, why should I go get my makeup done? Or why should I take a makeup course? And the thing that's really mind-blowing to me, even, like, 10 years later, and that's why I do try to be really, like, educational in my videos, because, like, here I am. Like, I have people that have literally followed me since, like, day one of being this, like, little tiny, like, new, you know, fresh local makeup artist. And then, like, 10 years later, they, like, are booking, like, an in-person makeup lesson. So I'm just assuming that, like, with all the content on the internet and all the content that I share and this and that, like, people are still so confused. I'm really trying to, like, narrow my style of videos, because you're totally right. Like, you know, some perfect person that has, like, really mastered their own makeup, it's very easy to say this is what I'm doing, but it's completely different because what I'm doing isn't going to work for you or you. So that's kind of something that I'm trying to focus on. But yeah, this comes at good timing because I'm like, oh, I need to, like, switch up my style. And I think I just got to get even more niche down to, like, speak to real people and address everyone when they're watching a video.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. I save a ton of those.
No, same. Or I'll, like, take notes and be like, okay, this product or, like, this kind of brush with this. I feel like for me, the most confusing thing is, like, what brush to use for what. Because I feel like every brand has, like, for example, every brand that comes out with a blush comes out with a blush brush, but all the blush brushes look so different. Yeah. And I'm like, why don't, like, I get it, like, they're all specific, but, like, in my head I'm like, why is there just not one universal blush brush?
Makeup brush 101, and, like, that's the next video,
how idea. To use it or whatever. So yeah, I feel like there's, for you, you probably feel like it's so repetitive or you're being so boring with a topic, but for people who don't know makeup as well, like us, like,
you're so confused.
So interesting and, like, so helpful, right? Even though you probably feel
like with your styling videos, you're probably like, oh, here I am putting on a skirt and a belt, and I'm like, this is the coolest thing.
Awesome.
Good point.
Okay, so yeah, you have your makeup journey, which ultimately has led you now to start a skincare brand. So can you share with us what inspired that? How did you come up with the brand, the branding, the name? Like, what's the story behind it all? And, like, how did you take that leap? Because I feel like starting a brand is scary and it's hard and there's so many unknowns. So what was that like for you?
Yeah, so I think for me personally, I think I, in a sense, have a bit of an advantage because I actually started out as, like, a business entrepreneur and then by default became a creator in doing that. So I feel like because I had a really strong foundation of business and marketing, but most importantly, like, when I first started that page and I was, like, a year in while I was in school, like, I realized that I really knew how to connect with people online. And everything that I did, whether it was servicing clients for their wedding party or starting to do these big classes at a hotel of, like, 30 women at a time to teach them how to do their own makeup, or then I launched my pro program where to this day I certify artists in Alberta to be makeup artists, but also to understand the foundation of, like, starting a business with it. Because again, you got to have both to be able to, like, really succeed. And so I feel like everything that I ever did in my journey, it was all in response to, like, a problem. Either a problem that I personally had or that I saw my clients had. So how the skincare came to be is I struggled with really bad acne up until I was probably, like, 23, 24. So my entire junior high, high school, and then for sure up until the end of university, you know, young adult life, I really struggled with my skin. I did 3 rounds of Accutane. It was the only thing that seemed to actually, like, fix the problem of, like, these ongoing breakouts that would never end. But the issue that I would have is every time I would go off of Accutane, because you can't be on it forever, it's very hard on your system, it's, like, not great for you at all, you can't have babies, like, all these things. So you can only really be on it, like, 6 months at a time is, like, the recommendation. I'd get off of it, and, like, once you've had perfect skin, nothing's worse than, like, having that taken back from you and then you don't have perfect skin again. No different than, like, you girls, right? Like, you might have a great skin day. The next day when you have, like, one blemish on your face, it's like, oh my God, I'm so ugly, right? Like, it really messes with your confidence. And so it was this ongoing battle of, like, no matter what I did when I got off of Accutane, whether it was, like, you know, the expensive products from the Derm or Sephora or back then, like, Proactive, Paula's Choice, like, literally anything, whether I spent $10, $200. I had even, you know, prescribed topical creams from the pharmacy. My skin would never sustain the success I had on Accutane, so then I'd have to go back on it. And so there's three rounds of it, and this is over the period of like 3-4 years, because you have to like really stretch it out because it's very hard on your liver. Three rounds of it, and I was just obviously like pissed off. Excuse my language, kind of like, when is this ever gonna end? Like, I'm 24, like, I don't think this is even like hormones or what I'm eating. Like, I tried everything. And again, the same friend that told me to take a makeup course, she is like very like product junkie orientated, of course, being a makeup artist too. But she loves product. Like, she thinks the PR we get is like mind blowing. Kind of like when you girls at the 818 event were like, you're not going to get the one size powder. I'm like, girl, I have 20 of those at home. Like, she has a love and appreciation for products. So she's very like in the know of like what's going on. And so she had said to me, like, I heard like there's like a such thing of like a natural approach to skincare. Like, why don't you give that a go since you kind of tried everything? And so I was like, okay, like, send me the brand. So funny enough, it was like a local brand here in my city. And it was very like holistic, basic, like skincare. They did body products. The whole mission for their business and why it came to be is because, you know, the founder and her daughters all have like crazy allergies. Like, they're allergic to everything. They have eczema, asthma, like, you name it. So that's like why she started creating like these natural, clean beauty products that her family could use and in turn create a business out of it. So I was like, okay, sure, I'll order the skincare routine and see what happens. And again, not having any high hopes because the only success I had was on a very hardcore drug. So why would I think in any way that like a natural based skincare product would like work for me? So I ordered this like very basic routine, a wash, a toner, and a cream. And like any skincare product, like, you got to use it for a good like 6 weeks to see if you're going to have success or not, or like if it's going to improve your skin or never mind make your skin worse. And I was a couple weeks in and my skin went crazy. And I'm like, great, here I go again, doing this to myself. Like, I'm just going to go back on Accutane though. So whatever, it is what it is. But at that point, I was like, well, I'll stick it out for the true like 6 weeks recommendations and see what happens. And this was 5 years ago. And I stuck it out and all of a sudden my skin started getting better. And I was like shook because here in Canada, at least, like, to get into a dermatologist, like, it's like a 6, 8, 10 month wait list. So, like, you know what I mean? Like, I had time to waste anyways before I could go back on Accutane. And yeah, I had such success with this line that at the time I was opening my storefront, where basically my local business here for makeup and the lashes and her teaching, it became so big that I was like, I need a location, because I would have like hundreds of people showing up to like my parents' doorstep to buy my lashes that I had created for my clients, but then everyday girls from Instagram and in my city wanted them. So I needed a space. And so when I was like, okay, well, I'm creating a space, like, I'm using the skincare anyways, I wonder if they would like wholesale their products so I can carry it out my storefront to like kind of fill the shelves. And so they were like, yeah, we would love for you too. And then essentially after carrying it there for like a couple months, it had sold so well because I, again, was able to speak to my personal experience of the product and connect with people having the same problem, that they approached me and they were like, you're doing so well selling this. Like, you know, no one's ever been able to like kind of do this for a brand. Would you like to collaborate and create a product together? And so I was like, well, I'd actually like to create a line, because like, I like your line, but like, there's a lot of things, if it was mine, that I would change and like, more ways than one, in terms of like the scent, the formula, the consistency, the packaging, the branding, some of the ingredients. And they were like, yeah, let's do it. So the brand we all see today on Instagram called Bee, really that brand has been tested in my local market here in Canada for 5 years. And really what that taught me is like, if you're going to come out with anything, whether you're a fashion creator, a beauty creator, you're just someone that has a passion, there has to be a good reason why you are creating and selling this product, other than like, oh, it's because it's like aesthetic, or, you know, like, there needs to be a big problem solver to for that to really sustain success. So what I did is I used those 5 years, essentially, not knowing at the time that, you know, Bee would now be the brand that I have. But I used that 5 years to really, you know, test out, like, what do people like? What keeps them coming back? And then, of course, with that, my following started to grow, so that I'm starting to get all these brand deals and a lot of Sephora brands, and I'm getting every skincare product sent to me, whether it's Rode or Drunk Elephant or Glow Recipe, the list goes on, you know? So it's like, but I would continue to still use my routine. And so I found that over time, you know, I have this big audience. I have this routine that I never stopped using. But I felt like because I focus so locally on, you know, the brand and business that I established here, I felt in every way, because I was so young and like not at all where I am now in a personal brand aspect, I felt that it wasn't representational of like my larger audience that goes beyond, you know, the proximity of where I live. So, you know, if I was posting a makeup tutorial, I didn't feel like that pride or confidence in like, you know, this is my under eye roller or this is my cream next to my favorite Say Beauty or my YSL. And so how B came to be is I really took what I never stopped using, but improved it, used obviously the confidence and the repeat clients that I've had for 5 years here in Edmonton, taken their feedback and experience, and really reformulated the line and branded it and really slimmed it down to, we had way more products in this of like, what is a tried and true that I haven't stopped using and everybody else hasn't stopped using? And how can I make that to be representational of like this new era and the community that I now have across my Instagram and TikTok? So yeah, that's it, like in a nutshell. It's not like I just woke up one day and was like, I want to start a skincare brand. It's actually been around the block for quite some time, which has obviously been an asset in many ways.
That's so cool. And that's so crazy that you say you've struggled with acne for so long, because like your skin looking at me is so clear. Like it's giving glass skin. Like I remember seeing you at Coachella, like when you first came that first day, I don't think you had any makeup on. I'm like, this girl has perfect skin. So it's so cool that you worked so hard for it and like you found something that really, really works.
Yeah. And the thing that's crazy too, and like, again, right, like I'm very particular with like the brands that I like work with, like, and especially on a skincare asset, because I also have such acne prone sensitive skin. Like, I don't know if you guys seen on TikTok right now, the Kylie skin tint is going like so viral. I've had it for so long. It's really nice. It's a makeup product.
Okay.
Like that gave me a horrible breakout and it's taken like 2 weeks. Like, so I'm still super, like sensitive to a lot of makeup based products. But when it comes to skincare, like, you know, there's so many products I get and like, are they good? Yes. Do they smell good? Yes. Do I personally, though, believe, nor would I ever walk into Sephora and spend like $90 on a cream that I'm going to run out of in 30 days? No, I would rather spend that on other things. And so that's something that's been really important to me. And I think it's a big kind of problem that I'm solving for people as well, is like, you know, put the money into like that serum that's going to really target like a super specific skin issue you have. But when it comes to like the foundation of like healthy, confident, glowing skin, which to me is a clean face, it's hydrated and it's balanced, that's what B is about. So it's really a routine that you can use with other things or use it as is. And truthfully, like it's all I've been using for 5 years. And the last like last three months, I've started to incorporate this one glow recipe retinol serum every couple of nights. Like, and that's it. But you don't need to spend an arm and a leg to have like clear skin. You don't. But we are sold this, obviously. And like, be a part of this like aesthetic cult and like have the vanity and all that, which I obviously tried to like tie into my brand in creating it, but just at a way more accessible price.
I love that. I love just like the vision you have behind it and just knowing your audience, knowing your target demographic, and then obviously sharing your personal experience, which I feel like could possibly be the most important, because it's like, so I feel like so many girls and women like struggle with acne and imperfect skin. So it's like when you see someone with perfect skin, you're like, oh, my skin could never be like hers. Like, what's the secret? Whatever. But when you actually hear someone's story saying like, I went through this journey, this like year long journey to get here, and this is what I discovered, and this is what I use, like those are the people I feel like I take advice from, and I'm like, okay, like I will try this product or that product because they're recommending it, and they've like been like super transparent and honest with their journey, and just like isn't someone with like perfect skin who like doesn't have to care what products they're using because they can just use anything and their skin is fine or whatever. So I feel like that's super relatable and so important. I feel like another question that a lot of people are always curious when starting a business, what was your funding like? Did you have any investors? Is it self-funded? Do you just kind of like whatever you make put back into the business? Like, what's the kind of story there?
Yeah, so to this day, I've always been self-funded. So obviously because, you know, my initial kickstart to business was servicing clients, and I lived at home. I'm now 29, I'll be 30 this year, but I lived at home until I was 26 going on 27. Like I lived at home as long as I could. At the time, I didn't want to, but I'm glad that I did looking back because, yeah, it did allow me to save. I'm, mm-hmm. you know, grateful to live with a family that I had my university paid for. So anytime that I worked, that was money that I could do what I wanted with it. Like, my parents didn't charge me rent or anything like that. So I took advantage of, you know, that privilege that I was given. So, yeah, I've always been self-funded. Obviously, when I was younger, like, I would, like, save and then, like, spend it and then save and spend it. But, you know, a year or two in, once I realized, like, okay, I shouldn't be blowing, like, you know, this bridal party makeup that I made of $1,000 in 4 hours. I shouldn't be, like, blowing that at, like, a Ritzy every time, you know? So I was always, once yeah. I started to realize, like, oh, I'm onto something, like, this is actually really good wage. Considering, too, I was, like, working full-time, right? Like, I think back then, back in Canada, I was charging $75 a face, which is like peanuts now because we all know how much it costs to get your makeup done. But back then, like, minimum wage was like $13. Like, my friends would have to work how many hours to make what I made in 1 hour doing makeup, right? So yeah, I've always been self-funded, and definitely that's exactly what it is if you can be self-funded and if that is your goal to be self-funded. What I love about it is I feel that it puts major fire under your butt to be really intentional with how you spend your money, because as I'm sure you all know, I'm so guilty of it too, like, it's just so easy to tap away, whether it's personally, for your business, being a content creator. And then really the goal in business is to look at the revenue minus expenses equals your profit, right? Like, we want to get those expenses as low as possible so that you have a bigger profit margin. And so being that I did study accounting and that was a good thing of having that background, I learned it very quickly that, like, yeah, you can make X amount of money a year, but after you incorporate all your costs, like, how well did you really do, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I've always been self-funded, and definitely the goal in business, and at least for me, especially having that accounting background, is if this is something that is your side hustle or something that you're starting in conjunction with a full-time job that you have, you know, the biggest thing that I urge people to consider is how much money do I actually need to live and, like, thrive, right? So it's like paying for whatever, your rent, your mortgage, your clothes, maybe you want to go for dinner once a week or whatever your goals are, right? Like, what do you actually need? And then what can you live without? Because what you can live without, you can make way more money reinvesting that into your business if you're smart with it to get an X amount return, right? So yeah, I've always been self-funded, and I know that isn't the case for everybody, but that's a nice thing about, especially being a service-based business starting out, it gave me a kickstart because once you kind of buy all your makeup kit costs, like, you don't really have anything to pay for, right? It's just, like, about getting people in the door. And then, of course, being a content creator really helps with that because then you get to a point where, like, you're not really buying anything other than maybe, like, paper towel and micellar water from Costco. And, like, the rest is paid for. But, yeah, try to keep as much in because you'll also pay more tax on it if you pull it out of your LLC, you guys call it, or your incorporation personally, right? So, yeah, that's what I try to do. Reinvest, reinvest.
I feel like that's just such good business advice, especially for women. I feel like it's so important for us to educate ourselves and kind of be on top and, like, learn your finances and not rely on someone else to do that for you. And, like, I feel like when I was growing up, it wasn't really taught that way. And, like, yeah. I feel like I kind of had to learn that on my own as I got older. But now I feel like financial literacy is so important. And we talk about that in some of our episodes where we talk about, like, going full time or, like, what does it take or how do you know when you can? And, like, we talk about, like, okay, what are you bringing in? What are your expenses? Like, can you cut anything? Like, what's important? Like, having that extra savings emergency fund just in case, like, all these things. So I feel like just hearing kind of your story and background, it just, like, having that financial literacy so early on because of your accounting background, I feel like it's really cool. But it also can encourage some of our listeners the importance of that and just being aware. Like, I feel like for me growing up, I was not financially responsible at all.
Yeah, most people aren't.
At all. And, like, I just, like, wouldn't look at my bank account because I'm like, if I don't look, the problem is not there. You know?
Totally.
And I'm like, okay, like, yeah, I have, like, took student loans out and I'm like, well, I don't have to pay these back for a while. And, like, first of all, I felt like people back in the day, like, didn't even talk about student loans. So when I accepted my student loans, I honestly didn't even know how student loan worked. I was just like, oh, they're just, like, dumping this money in my account to pay for...
And for my school, yeah.
Yeah, and miscellaneous items and my rent so I could live at a nicer apartment building when maybe I shouldn't have, or I could go shopping and buy something that, like, maybe I shouldn't have. So having that so early on and just having... I don't know, just financial literacy is so, so important. And I know when I have kids, like, I will raise them to be that way. And, like, I literally will put them in, like, a financial class. I don't know. But I think it's so smart, especially for women, to have that background. And you don't even have to go to school for it. It's on the internet. It's free. It's on Google. But just learning that about yourself and your business. You know, especially as content creators, too, because we're not getting paid every 2 weeks on Fridays, you know?
Yeah. I know. Yeah. Which is a big reason why I wanted to get back to having my own brand. Cause this net thing, I'm like, I'm just not about this life all the time. Yeah. But bless your guys' soul that you are. But yeah, just to touch on to the financial literacy thing, like the one thing I want to emphasize as well is like, yes, that's what my parents encourage us to all do. But I do have a sister, I do have a brother, and they did not do that, right? So I think as well, it comes down to like, what are your priorities? Like my priority was like, I was fine to like give up things like moving out and like living downtown with my friends are. Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, willing to like give up every Saturday so that I could work every single weekend that I could possibly get a bridal booking, to, you know, make really good money while I'm in school full time. We're like, my brother and sister, they didn't take that route. They were given the exact same opportunity. They still did live at home, but they got out of the nest a lot quicker, right? So it's just one of those things too, where like, you know, I hope that my kids will see my mentality because it definitely did get me ahead. And I think in many ways, my brother and sister, they're like, yeah, that would have been nice if I did that, but I've been, like, loving my time, and I've had great memories with my friends, you know, so it's not really, like, a cookie-cutter experience either, but if you do have ambition to start your own career or your brand, regardless of the situation, you do have to be smart with it, because it's just one of those things where it's like, okay, could I put $100 in the pot of turning it into five times this, or am I going to spend it out on, like, a night out with my friends that's just going to go down the drain, right? So definitely sacrifices are made, but for me, it panned out, and I'm happy.
That's love that perspective, and like everyone's journey is so different, priorities are different, but planning like long term can be so like good for your future if that's the kind of business you want to run. So
for sure,
love that. Okay, so tell us about your brand name, like the packaging, the aesthetic, and how you came up with it, and tell us the spelling of it too, because it's so cool.
Thank you. Yeah, so it's really funny how the brand name came to be. So I knew that one thing that I learned very early on, you know, I'm so tired from the past like week of this job. I'm like, I can't even speak English. But when I first called myself GP Makeup, okay, like that had no thought process. Like I said, it was initials and makeup. And what I really learned quickly is that name really boxed me in, because by default, on accident, it actually turned into a business. And so with that, once I started my lash line, and then I started having a team, and then I had a storefront, we had other things going on beyond makeup, right? But because that was the name, it's what people associated, you know, what the business was only about. So when I moved to the storefront, I had to extend in. I called it GP Makeup, the beauty house, to like represent, you know, there's more in this house of beauty. And that worked out great. But I always said, next time I launch a brand, I'm not going to box myself in if I feel that it has the opportunity to grow into something bigger than what it started in. And so I knew with this brand that I did not want it to have the word beauty, makeup, artistry, like nothing about beauty related, because I'm like, you know what? Maybe in a couple years, I'm going to have a baby and I want to launch some kind of product line that's going to solve a problem I'm having. Like, I don't know what the hell is going to happen. My husband's a dentist. Maybe we're going to launch some kind of toothpaste. Like, you just never know, right? So I just think these crazy things, and I knew I couldn't have any kind of category, you know, limiting the growth of the brand. So that would be a really big tip that I have for people, even if they think.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. but don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Now, like, oh, I'm just going to be a makeup artist for the rest of my life, or I'm just going to be like a stylist. I would urge you to really think about that. So when I came up with this brand, I have my husband Mark to credit for the thought process of it, which really annoyed me. And he said the most successful brands, typically, like statistically, they have four letters. So like Nike, Uber, like he gave me this whole list. And I'm like, okay. So he's like, you should try to come up with something that's four letters. And I'm like, okay, well, you guys know how hard that is. It's like so hard. And then two, trying to find something that has a handle available, the domain, that's not trademark yet, like all of these things you have to consider beyond like, oh, what's a cool word? And so it was like this month process of just being really frustrated and annoyed because everything that I thought was like a great idea wasn't available in some capacity or people in my circle that I would ask their feedback on, they like either loved it or hated it. Like it seemed like nothing aligned. And so I've always had like a love and just like, I've just loved the aesthetic of like bees. And in my career, like through all the things I did, I always kind of bought something that had like a bee. So like, as an example, when I, you know, signed my 5-year lease for my storefront, I went to Toronto and I got these Gucci boots there and they have like these embroidered like bees and stars all over them. That was that. Then when I went to Italy because I got my brand trip with Virgin Voyages, I got like this bee necklace. So it's always just kind of been like a bit of like a memoir thing. And if you look up the symbolism of bees, they're very, very strong in femininity, but they represent a lot of like powerful words like fertility, success, wealth, community, like passion. Like it's just such an empowering symbol. And so I'm here like on this ChatGPT world we live in. And I'm like, I love bees. What is like a word that's four letters that will like, you know, give me some kind of word that's representational that I can tie it back to my love for bees. I also have a tattoo of a bee on my arm and I don't even like tattoos. Like I don't even like tattoos. I got this with my girlfriend Amy that got me into like all of this these things in the beauty industry on our trip in October. And again, I even have my brand, like I didn't know I was creating this brand when I got this tattoo. So anyways, I'm on ChatGPT, can't come up with anything. And then I didn't even know what it was. I like saw something or actually this is what it was. Because I love the brand Say Beauty. Like it's one of the brands. And I'm like, that's such an interesting word, but like, what does it mean? And so right. I looked it up on their page of like, what does Say mean? Because it's spelled very uniquely. And literally their whole thing, like their website, I think is like Say Hello. Mm-hmm. So literally like Say is just like Say, like S-A-Y spelled differently. And it like, it's kind of like their motto, like say hello. So then my mind was like, oh my God, why don't I just spell B differently? That's literally how it came to me. And then I looked it up and it was available for domain, for socials. Actually, domain for Instagram. This is a funny story. Like I just wanted B-E-I-E. That's how I decided to spell it. I messaged, it was like a girl in like Germany. And I was like, hey, I'm wondering if you'd like sell me your Instagram name. She has like 200 followers. This chick blocks me.
Please. I feel like people are so weird about that.
I know. It's so weird. Like, I'm like, girl, like, it's all good. Like, you could have just been, like, sorry, not interested. Like, it's, like, I think it's very apparent. Like, I'm a nice person. I'm a content creator. Like, I'm not going to scam you. I literally sent this nice message being, like, hey, I'm starting to brand. Like, would you be open to, like, give me your username or I'll pay you for it? And, yeah, she just blocked me. So I was like, okay, well, like, I don't want to have a different one for, like, all the platforms. So then I was like, what's kind of a play on words? And that's what I liked about the name B. Like, you know, just, like, B as in, like, B-E that we use. Like, you know, be yourself, be beautiful, be empowered, whatever. I was like, oh, well, I'm always, have always been about, like, just being you. Like, be who you are. So I was like, oh, I'll just do be you. So that's like the handle that I went with for Instagram. And then I just matched that to the domain, which I think is kind of cute and a play on words. So yeah, that's how the brand came to be in terms of the name and the thought process.
I love that.
So don't box yourself in is the takeaway here.
Yeah, I feel like you can do so much with that name. Are you potentially going to launch some makeup down the line or is it everything up in the
air? This is the thing that I've always been about that I said earlier, like, and I urge anybody to really reflect on this. I think especially, like, and we can attest to this ourselves, like, there's a lot of really successful content creators that, like, we know and love. And they launch these brands. And I just have, like, the instinct to be, like, it's not going to last. And I've seen a lot of them fade away and like end over a couple years, many years. And the reason why is you have to make sure that whatever you're selling, that you're solving some kind of problem, right? So for me, if I am going to be coming out here and like, you know, essentially relaunching a new and improved 2025 and, you know, continuing on brand, starting with skincare, there's a reason why. It's different. It's a natural approach, which really isn't found anywhere. It's very inexpensive. It's affordable. And you're kind of in that mid-luxury mark. And I'm targeting people that you can either have great skin as is and it doesn't matter what you use, or you're like me and you're ultra sensitive and you likely will have really big success, right? So anything that I launch, there has to be a reason for it. It's not just because like I wanted to slap this brand name on something. Could it be fun for like a drop? Sure. But, you know, something as important and close to my heart is like makeup products. Ladies, there's a lot of good makeup products out there. So like if I were to ever consider one, it'd have to be really good. And it'd have to be something that like is a problem that I haven't been able to solve with other brands yet, just like it was with the skincare thing. And personally, my 10 years of being a makeup artist, I have never really felt that like need or like that struggle to find like what is not solving my problem. So yeah, we will see what happens. Does it mean I'll never do a makeup product? No. But again, if I'm going to be a content creator and also be recommending the top, you know, picks for the Sephora sale, well, if I'm going to be having my brand talking about the next day, like there has to be honesty and transparency there. And I think that's a big thing too. A lot of, you know, these creators, I feel they launch brands, but they rarely show them or talk about them. And that's one thing that Cass with Orium was really, you know, prominent about on the podcast that I appreciated. Like, she's like, you have to be able to like live and breathe your brand, because if you're not like, if you don't love it, like, why do you think other people are going to love it enough to, like, come back and keep repurchasing, right?
Yeah. Right.
No, that's so, really good perspective. It'll all come from, like, problem solving. Like, what the community wants, or if there's a problem I see that, like, I can solve and fit in that kind of bucket of where I'm catering to people, then I will. So it's going to really be about my community, honestly.
And then you named each of your products after a drink, right?
Yeah, cocktail inspired. So, like,
what are some of the examples that you have?
For the cocktail-inspired skincare?
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is funny because this is something that I started, like, again, I've kind of been prototyping this line for, like, 5 years. So a lot of them already kind of existed. And it's funny because now we're in this, you know, phase of, like, you see so many beauty products now are relating it to, like, food. No one's really too much tapped on the drink aspect of it, but it's really, like, sensory experience for people and the branding. Like, I love it because I love food and drinks. But, yeah, so, like, we have the Moscow Mule Cleanser, Mint Sprints toner. Then we have the Pick Me Up eye serum. So do you guys have Pick Me Ups like in the States? Like, is that a drink you guys call or no?
What kind of drink is it?
So in Canada, it's like, if you get a Pick Me Up, it's like kind of like a ratchet drink. It literally is like vodka with like milk and espresso. Like, it's like a creamy, and they serve it over ice. So it's literally called like a Pick Me Up. Cause if you're like at the bar and you're tired, but you like need a Pick Me Up, you order it. So it's like an iced coffee basically at the bar, but it has like alcohol in it. Oh,
okay. We don't have that.
Okay. Yeah. You should look it up. They're really good. Don't have too many though. You've got a stomachache, but yeah, so that's that. And then we have the Skinny Paloma light moisturizer and then Orange Bitters deep moisturizer. And so yeah, it's just a fun way. And really why that came to be is because once I started working with my manufacturer of like, you know, the skin concerns, what we're trying to target, this and that, a lot of these natural-based ingredients, I realized like these are actually in a lot of my favorite cocktails, like, you know, ginger for a Moscow Mule and like mint or cedarwood and like orange. And then I was like, what if I had some fun with it and name them after cocktails, but also give people the experience that they get that like aura when they use it. And so, yeah, that's really how that all happened. Meant to be, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like you just have such a cool story surrounding everything. So you just recently launched this brand, like, what, a month or so ago?
Yeah, like, a month ago. Yeah, like a month ago yesterday, basically.
Wow. Have you faced any kind of big unexpected challenges yet during the, like, creation process, the formulating, the production brand, anything? Like, has there been any, like, major roadblocks where you've been like, oh, like, shoot, like, this is not good, or, like, anything like that?
You know what? Probably, like, if this was, like, 5 years ago, I'd have been like, this is the end of the world. But, you know, that's what I've learned, like, with anything. Like, it doesn't matter how experienced you are or, like, who's helping you or you're hiring. Like, there will always be mistakes made. So it's, like, don't waste your energy on that because you're just, like, putting yourself off the track, focusing on something that you can't change. You can only either start over or improve and, like, take over from there. But, yeah, like, a couple of things have happened. And, again, that's why I say, like, it would have been the end of the world for me before. But, like, first and foremost with this brand, I knew, like, I am not in the place, nor do I have the actual talent or skill set to truly, you know, create this website by myself. Because prior, like, everything I ever did it all me. Like, I did my logos, I did my website, like, I did literally everything. But this time I was like, I want to do it right because, you know, that is what I am standing up against when I'm, you know, having YSL and, like, be in a, you know, in a makeup video. So I knew that I wanted to find an agency that could help me with the actual conception of creating the brand on a visual identity basis, and then the website too. And then with that, of course, is the packaging. So yeah, a few things happened, and it kind of taught me that, like, no one actually knows much more than you. Like, of course, people have their, like, skill set of what they're best at. But, like, just because they're pros doesn't mean that they don't make mistakes either. So, really simple example, I provide all of my information to go on, like, all of the skincare boxes, like, prior to, like, you know, opening it and getting the bottle. And it has, like, the name, the ounces, the mils, like, all of these, you know, things that we have to follow on, like, a legal guideline basis for you to actually have, like, a legal product you can sell on market. And all of these bottles printed, and it was caught after the fact that 4 of the 6 bottles that we got printed, and there was, like, a lot of them, they didn't change on the design, the mils. So, like, 4 bottles that all had different sizes, they all said that they were, like, 4 ounces. When it should have been, like, 4, 3.4, 1, 1.5.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
So, like, obviously that annoyed me. And I was, like, upset because it's, like, what does that waste time and money? But it's, like, what am I going to do? Cry about it? It's, like, okay, we're just going to push the launch then, I guess, a couple of days if we need to. Or, you know, I'm just going to have to now, you know, make up with them, and they're going to have to cover that cost, or they're going to do something for me to, like, make up for this error because I provided the correct info. So when they sent over to me the mock-up of, like, here's the actual design template, the last thing I'm looking at, you guys, is proofreading to make sure that the info I provided is correct. I'm just looking at the aesthetic. Does it look good? Like, I want this line moved up or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that went wrong. And then the same thing happened with the box, with the boxes too. So yeah, it was a bottle mishap. And then one of the boxes too. And it's funny because, again, it's one of those things where it's like no one knows but you. So again, all of these skincare boxes got printed. And then on the one box for the cleanser, they didn't have an S in there. So it said cleaner. So, like, the first 200 of them that we sent out, it says cleaner. But I'll tell you what, no one has said anything or pointed it out.
Yeah, I feel like I wouldn't even catch that, but...
Exactly, right? So, it's, like, those are, like, little things that happened. But, again, they were out of my control.
Yeah.
And I think it's too important to take responsibility. Like, you know, yeah, I did give them the proper info. I did trust them with that. I did have them design it. But at the end of the day... they sent it to me, then I took that and I sent that to the bottle, you know, manufacturer and then the box manufacturer. I could have, and I still should have, proofread it, even though I gave them the initial info. And so that was my learning lesson there. But besides that, any big things that have happened? Not yet, other than we did have a couple of broken bottles in transit. So what's our learning experience there? Because they are glass, like... we need to extra bubble wrap these babies. And then I guess another little minor thing, but not really significant, is just like figuring out our supply and demand, because I didn't think that we would actually truly like sell out for like what I physically we had on hand bottle wise. So now we've had this really big lag of like 4 weeks of not being able to sell anything. So we restock tomorrow. So I'm hoping after this, like that initial big like rush of people will be done. So we can figure out our flow so that we can always be in stock, because this is a routine and I want it to be accessible. Like our goal isn't to be like selling out every time, but I just was overwhelmed and clearly didn't realize like how much of a need or, you know, excitement people had towards what I created. So that one's a good problem to have, I guess. But I don't like to keep people waiting because it's frustrating. Like I'd be annoyed myself.
Yeah. No, I mean, those are all kind of like crazy things that happen and you just kind of have to adapt and keep moving, and like you said, like you got to cry about it and then keep going, because like nothing's gonna change.
It's not the end of the world. Nothing's the end of the world. That's what I've realized. It can feel like it sometimes, but it's not.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I feel like some of these other questions we've had, we've kind of touched on, but was there anything else you wanted to add about, I mean, balancing content creation with being a business owner? I feel like your businesses intertwine so much that, like, your content is so related to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that definitely, honestly, is probably my biggest struggle. Like, even the other day, I actually posted that I'm, like, looking for, like, an assistant. Because, yeah, I would say, like, as a content creator, you know, and you girls, I'm sure, can agree in many ways, especially, like, I know, Danielle, you're self-managed now, right? Like, you manage yourself. Yeah, but it's, like, going from, like, the emails, the business, like, yeah, going through briefs, to then having to, like, get in front of the camera, like, have that creative hat on to, like, be able to show up and, like, be excited and, like, really, you know, like, show your personality through that. That's really difficult to do. And so that is definitely a big struggle that I have. And like even in the past month, like since now this brand has been like launched, I definitely have not been creating as much. I haven't been pumping out as much content. And that's a really big problem that I need to solve here, because that is how I will continue to grow the brand in conjunction with my personal brand. But of course, just like anything, like sometimes you got to pick priorities. Like my priority at this moment, obviously, is making sure that the brand is set up, that everybody knows their roles, and that everything is taken care of so that I can get back to doing what I've always been doing, which is content creation, and in turn, you know, market my business in a very organic way. But yeah, it is a really big struggle because, like I say too, like things come up, right? Like yesterday I planned to be filming like all these videos so that today I knew that I was doing this podcast, and then I had like a client earlier, and then I have another meeting with like my agency for a website, right? But then yesterday like something came up, so I didn't get to film the content, and then the weather was crappy, so the lighting was bad. So it makes it really difficult to like play both, but it's just a thing of like figuring out the balance and yeah, prioritizing what's, for me, I'm always about, like, what's the most revenue-generating task, because at the end of the day, money is what makes things better, you know? So if I can grow my business at a quicker scale, if that means doing less brand deals for this month, so be it, because if I can instead get more sales in the business, I can hire more of the right people that the business needs so that I don't have to be involved in these tasks that I really am able to delegate to people, you know? But yeah, it is a really big struggle. And I think that's why I really related to that podcast I listened to, because she spoke to that as well. Like, it's hard to do it all. And there's a reason why people have teams, right?
If you could pick, what would be like maybe the most valuable lesson that you've learned as a founder so far? Because I feel like you've mentioned so many, but like what would be like your top one that you feel?
My top one that I've always felt, and I just never was at the place to like commit to it, and that's why now I feel myself back in that place. I'm like, no, I'm not doing this again. My biggest tip is learn what you are best at and what you can do, but you don't actually need to be doing. So for me, as both a creator and a brand founder, what I'm best at is inventing product, or, you know, finding that like problem that I can solve. Like, I'm a good listener of understanding the market, what people need, what they're looking for, what my own problems are. I'm good at marketing and I'm good at selling. And of course, that is through content creation. That's what I am the best at, and that's what also creates a lot of revenue in a business for me, for like my point, right? Like me packing orders all day, that's not growing my business. So that's my biggest piece of advice, like really hone in on what you know you're best at. And like I say, like it's a journey to get there, especially when you're starting a brand or a business. You have to do it all if you are bootstrapping it, right? And that has always been me, being that it's been self-funded. But you got to know when is it time to be like, you know what? I need to like start investing to hire people to be responding to these DMs, or to be shipping out these orders, or to be, you know, running these Zara Intern X community event. Cause like what I need to be doing is the content and showing up, especially cause I'm obviously a big face of this brand too. They go hand in hand, but yeah, if you do too much at once, will you still get to where you want to be? Yes, but it will just take you way longer to get there. And that was something that I wish I would have learned earlier on. But also too, I do give people grace if you are struggling with this, because I always talk about this, and to this day, I'm like, I wish I could clone me and have like three of me, because it's really hard to build a good team. Like people talk about it all the time, but it's like, and it's funny because actually on another podcast I listened to, it was the founder of Spanx. And she was saying that she was speaking to, like, Warren Buffett. And she was like, what's your best advice for building, like, a successful team? And he goes, my best advice is it's 60% luck. And I was like, that's actually so true, though, you guys. Yeah. Like, it's really hard to find someone that, like, you know, maybe has that grit or drive. And also finding someone that has the ambition to grow your business as much as you do when it's your own business, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you got to really stay in your lane. And when you're able to finally stay in your lane, like, that's what you got to do. So if you find yourself being pulled back into these other things, which is what I've caught myself in the last month, I'm like, hey, I will help out because it's a need right now. But like, what I'm doing is actively finding people to fill these tasks because I can't be going over there. It's not doing anybody favors and definitely not me.
Yeah. Okay. Amazing. Mm-hmm. And what advice would you give creators who are thinking about starting their own product-based business?
Yeah, what I would have them think about, assuming that you have some kind of audience, whether we're talking 500 followers or 1,000 followers, and on that following aspect too, what I've learned, you know, very early on, and even to this day, like, we can see it with creators that we follow, just because you have a lot of followers, it actually doesn't mean that you have influence in terms of being able to, you know, provide a brand ROI. So if you are a creator, or if you're just someone that, like, you know that you have influence based on when you tell your friends and family about a product and they go buy it, you are an influencer. It doesn't matter how many followers you have. And so I would say, whether it is more on a personal aspect of knowing the pull you have, or on your social media platforms, the pull you have, really pay close attention to what people are asking you about often. And for me, even, like, especially with having, you know, been using behind the scenes my skincare brand, but not really showing it to, like, my community. So to them, like, B seems like it's completely new, but the people locally here, which is obviously a very small percentage of my now big audience, like, they know it's not new. But, you know, it's very apparent that I'm still being asked, your skin's so nice. What do you do? Like, you never say, like, what moisturizer you're using prior to your, like, you know, foundation. Like, what is it? And when I even do things like the Sephora sale or, like, my videos, I look at, like, my affiliate links. People, for me, they're always shopping complexion products. It's always foundations. Obviously not creams, because I wasn't linking creams really ever. But it's, like, foundations and blushes and really simple, like, easy, like, liquid eyeshadow. So if you're going to be creating a product, or you have a brand and, you know, a product line that you want to have in mind, you got to make sure that you already organically are, you know, kind of being a role model, or, like, you're inspiring people to shop in that department of what you want to sell, because it's going to be a lot harder, I feel, if you don't already have that experience. And then when you go to launch, you're going to be really probably stressed and maybe disappointed, because it doesn't matter how many followers you have. Like, you could go on, like, this is for sale, buy it now, and it could be crickets, right? But if you have that community built, and you know that this is a problem that people are having based on comments, conversations, they're in the DMs, people in your life, like, you just know already that, like, you're 10 steps ahead of someone else that, like, just woke up one day and they're like, I want to have XYZ brand, right? And then, yeah, what is that problem you're solving? So, like, for me, or even, you know, for you girls, whether it's going to be a beauty product or a fashion product, what is the problem you're solving? And it doesn't have to be, like, a true problem someone's having in their life, but it's like, you know, well, maybe you're going to have a better shipping time, or the experience that you create for a customer when they open a package. Like, can we talk about that, by the way? You guys know we all love Revolve. I ordered that Helsa dress out of, you guys saw last week, that, like, brown, like, ruched one, and it's, like, really sheer. I wore it to an event. This dress in Canadian dollars was, like, $700, and just like Revolve is, right? Like, it shows up in the box, in the little plastic, and that's it.
Yeah.
And literally, I'm like, this is such a missed opportunity, but as well, they are at such a scale that they don't need, and they clearly don't care to be providing that experience. But, like, I don't know. I just have, for me, like, it's not often that I'm, like, ordering, like, gowns, because, like, I don't have things to really go to. But I'm like, the fact that this dress came in the same packaging of, like, a $30 super down tank top blew my mind.
Like it doesn't even come in, like, a garment bag or something. True. Like, at least put it in a garment
bag. And it was, like, $700. Like, a part of me was pissed how much I liked the dress, because then I realized, like, well, this dress probably cost them $65 to make, honestly. But it's like, okay, that could be a problem, though, that you're solving for people, right? Like, if people like your designs, or they like fashion and they appreciate, like, the aesthetic, and, like, just feeling, like, appreciated as a consumer, like, That's a very easy problem that someone can solve and kind of like find their mark in the marketplace of like a saturated fashion brand, creating an experience. And like, I learned that from working at Aritzia for 5 years through like high school and university, actually on and off. They're all about that. Do you guys notice when you go there, it doesn't matter what you buy, it's always, you know, they lay down the tissue paper, they put your product in there, whether it's socks, it's a super puff jacket, they package everything like it's a gift. And they always give that experience to people. And I think that elevates the experience and it makes people want to go back, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's important, like understanding what are some like things that like I would change if this was mine. And obviously, as a creator, getting PR, I also have been paying very close attention to the packages I get. Like, for me, what excites me still 5 years later? What do I think was like lazy, you know? So all these things matter. And those are ways that you can kind of fit yourself into a really competitive market, if you will, but like make your audience be like, oh, wow, like that was a really nice finishing touch on brand for her. So yeah, those are my two biggest pieces of advice.
I'm excited maybe I get three, I don't know. See what you do with this.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So just to finish off the episode, we have a couple more just kind of like fun personal questions to ask you.
Love it.
Because you're just such a queen in this niche, I feel like.
Thank you.
Okay, so what are maybe 1 to 2 of your favorite beauty tips?
1 to 2 of my favorite beauty tips. Okay, well, number one, obviously, great makeup starts with great skin. And by that, and again, go back. This was even before I had a freaking skincare brand, you guys. Go back 10 years. I do not believe in makeup primers for the face prior to foundation. All I believe in is hydrating the under eye, which is with the under eye roller that Alyssa used on you. And then the cream I also used on you, which is the Skitty Paloma Moisturizer. Great makeup starts with great skin. And I find that when you're using these primers, and I can't even actually take credit for like this philosophy that I'm talking to you guys about because I learned this from Makeup by Mario. I went to 2 of his masterclasses like 8 years ago when I first started being a makeup artist. And this was like long before he had his like line in Sephora and stuff. Like you only knew him if you really loved makeup and if you loved Kim Kardashian. But I learned it there. He doesn't use primers on anybody. He's all about a nice moisturizer that's going to hydrate the skin, but it's also going to sit well under makeup. And so that is my first tip there. So whether you did your skincare routine at 7 a.m., but then you're doing your makeup at 10 a.m., just because you did your moisturizer 3 hours ago doesn't mean that your skin's ready to go. We want to freshly prep the skin so it's like ready for fresh action in the makeup department. So that's my first tip. And then the second tip that I have is it's all about how you apply and layer and blend. So even when I did your makeup, and you guys will see this in a lot of my videos, like when you have that foundation or that base, I should say, prepped all nicely, if your goal is to have full coverage makeup or really light-handed makeup, you want to be applying in layers. So when you do foundation, if you want full coverage, we're not going to like have a huge blob of foundation and just be buffing it all over our face. You want to work in even layers, blend it out with a damp beauty blender, which is what I did on you. So we want to be like applying to the brush, blend it in, pressing motions. And then if you see you need more coverage, then in that area, we're going to add a little bit more. So I find a lot of people when they say like, oh, my makeup's creasing or like it doesn't look good, you're doing one of two things. You're, first of all, not prepping your skin properly, which is usually always a major issue for people. And then secondly, you are applying likely too much or worst case, you're actually not even applying enough. And so that's why you feel like your makeup doesn't look good. So it's like this happy medium of like not being scared to apply too much. But when your skin is prepped properly and you're blending properly, you'll realize that you can be really light-handed or like heavier-handed, but it's about that layering. So those are my 2 biggest tips if you are like a soft glam girly that wants your skin to look like skin. And you can speak to it because we were, what, at Coachella, it was like so freaking hot. And like your makeup looks so good. It looked like better than mine. Because I was like a client. I did mine in like 10 minutes. Like,
you literally
did. And it was so like, hot.
Yeah. And like not using primer sounds so scary. Wow, but like it literally lasted all day and we were sweating
out there. I know. Yeah. You look so good. Oh, all God, day. I was like looking at you. I was like, damn. Because obviously, as a makeup artist, like I don't service clients as much as I used to, obviously. But like, you know, like we are doing these people's makeup at like 6 a.m. and then their wedding is like not till like 1 and then they're out until like 2 a.m. So like I know the makeup lasts and it looks good, obviously, because I've been doing this for so long and, like, I see the photos. But it was really cool, actually, because, like, that was a good, like, reminder of, like, okay, I still got it.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, like, I was so hot there, as you guys know, like, sweating.
Sweating.
And I'm just looking at your face and I was like, wow, I can't believe that, like, it actually like, looks this good.
On the back, girl.
No, honestly, that was, like, mind-blowing to me. But I'm like, it's all about the base and the blending. That's really it. You can make like an $8 Maybelline foundation look just as good. Like, and that's my other tip. Don't think that spending $90 more on a foundation is going to give you better skin or a better complexion. It is total, not a lie. We'll have a nice finish, sure, but like I can do a really nice glam with drugstore, you guys. It's all the same. You don't need to spend that.
Love wow, that. These are such good
such
tips.
Such a good reminder.
Thank
okay,
you.
So talking about makeup, what are like your top five makeup products in your makeup bag right now? Like if you had to only pick five,
yeah,
what would they be in the brand?
So we won't count skin prep in it because that's going to eat yeah. up two. And that's like the skin, it's skincare plus your skin prep. But my top five, and if you guys watch my videos, this is not a shock to anybody. The Huda Beauty Peach Color Corrector for under the eyes. That is like a go-to.
Writing these all down.
Yeah, if you don't have the color corrector, you need that prior to any concealer. It is a must-have. If you're not color correcting prior to concealer under the eyes, that's why your under eyes don't look bright because you have these purple blue tones. So that's the first one. My ride or die foundation always, no matter the person, I feel like maybe I even used it on you, is the NARS Light Reflecting Foundation. That one's so good. Whether we're going to Pilates or we are going for like a dinner date or like to a wedding, never fails. Good for all skin types, truly. Another one, of course, I love the Rare Beauty Brow Gel. I have super coarse brows.
I
think I sold
you that.
I sold that on you girls when I did it on you, right?
Yeah.
Because I have really full brows and I'm all about like brow lamination, but like when it wears off, your brows don't cooperate. I kid you not, you guys, this is the only brow gel that truly works, doesn't leave a gross, like, white overcast, and it doesn't dry out your brows and make them, like, crispy. My only complaint with the product, though, is, like, it's too small. Like, they need to make it bigger because I ripped through
like
it, like, in a month.
Size.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That would be really nice. So that's my third product. My fourth product, because it just never, ever fails, is the Hourglass blushes, like the mineral ones. Those work good on everybody. They are just such a good way to like lock it in. And then my fourth one, this is like for the oily girls, is the Charlotte Tilbury Airbrush Pressed Powder, which I know Alyssa loves that one too.
We love that.
That one as well. So those are always like in my kit. And then I guess to add to that, in terms of like a contour department, I really am loving the Rare Beauty Contour Stick. I prefer the sticks over the liquids personally, especially because I'm more of like an oily skin type. Mm-hmm. And then the Rare Beauty liquid blushes are amazing. I love the Say Beauty ones too. Like that's the thing. There's so many, but like those five products I mentioned, no matter where I'm going, those are always in my kit because they are staples and they literally work for everybody. They're even in my pro kit as well.
Taking like notes on everything. Can't wait to listen to this episode myself again.
Oh, me too. You guys are like inspiring me to like for all this like these makeup videos I have to film today now because I was like I need some new inspo. I'm like now I know exactly what I'm gonna do. So thank you.
You need to just do like the basics, like your top five blushes and why, your top five like bronzers, your contours.
I gotta redo
also,
the brush video.
Didn't know you color contour before concealer. Like maybe a video on that.
Okay.
Like, no one knows
all the
that.
Things. All the things. Yeah, I just need like a makeup for dummies series. I think you know,
or like you not could that... do a makeup for content creators too. Just to like make it pop in photos.
That's cute. Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Send me all the requests because I'm like I got videos.
You could honestly make like a makeup like academy type situation where you like film these like videos with like a nice camera.
Yeah.
And like sell them in a bundle for like. I know.
Someone told me they were like, you should do like one of the subscription channels where like once a month you're like pumping out a really like in-depth or like twice a week or twice a month, sorry, like in-depth video. Because not everybody on Instagram wants to watch like a 10-minute video, obviously, right? Like we're limited to the 3 minutes. But that's the thing. It's really hard to get the point across in that short form content all the time. I try my best, but yeah, there's a reason why it takes an hour to get your makeup done.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of tips and tricks in there.
Yeah,
makes sense.
Okay, so is there anything that you see on socials when you watch, like, maybe in the beauty space or just, like, anyone, like, doing their makeup or, like, not doing something right and like you wish you could tell people to like stop doing this, or there's like a product that you're like, this is so bad, please stop using this. Is there anything like that you see?
Yeah, I would say for me, so I'm not really like judgy when it comes to products, because like I say, like I believe in like a $3 like e.l.f. product, and I also believe in like a $100 YSL product. So I'm not really product judgy for the most part, other than when I see videos of people being like, oh, this setting spray makes my makeup last all day, or like this primer makes it last all day. I'm like, for the most part, other than that one size one where there is proof that you can put your face in the bowl of water and your makeup is on, like that one will pass that test. But besides that, and again, though, you know, Patrick Starr knows how to do his makeup so well. So it's like, it's not that he just like rushed through this crappy routine, sprayed his face, and like it's going to last all day. There's still technique right. behind what they're selling you. But I would say the biggest thing that I don't want to say irks me, because like I don't, you know, scroll on my feed like Tell judging us. People's like makeup. It's just very clear to me that people don't understand placement of where they apply products. And that's something that I really need to, I think, get even better at in my tutorials, like we talked about earlier, is like, just because I put my concealer like here and here doesn't mean that both of you should do the same, right? Like, and so I think that's what kind of makes me sad, because I see people like doing their makeup or they're trying their makeup, and it's more so, I would say, and it makes sense because like you girls said, like we don't know a lot about makeup because like we're so into fashion and vice versa. Like I don't know a lot about fashion, which is why I wear the same outfit every day, you know, but it's like, it's very often like when I see the fashion girlies filming makeup videos, or I'm just like, girl, let's get some techniques down here, because I could help you accentuate your features in a 10 times better way. And also, I feel a lot of people are just wasting their product because they're putting on so much when they actually didn't need to as well. So that's the biggest thing. Like, placement is everything. Understanding your face shape. And that's where there's a difference between, you know, mastering your own makeup and then being a makeup artist. Like, to be able to look at someone, just like a stylist, right? Like, someone might be good at, like, putting their own outfits together, but maybe someone else has completely different style to you. Could you create an outfit for them? I don't know. I think that takes a very specific talent. And if you can do that, really cash in on it. But yeah, you gotta be able to know your face, and not everybody does know that, and they're just kind of cookie cuttering what they see online and then doing it on themselves. I'm sure it's an improvement, but like it could look so much better. So yeah, if either of you want to send in a video, I love like when I do those videos where people do their own makeup.
I'm sending my video. But this is the thing,
people are so scared. They're so scared to like go on my video, because the last one, this girl, like she was awesome. She like was like, oh, can you like look at my video and tell me what I'm doing wrong? So I just stitched it, and it has like 500,000 views. And, like, so now people are, like, scared, because I think they're, like, scared that their, like, routine's going to go on. But I'm just, like, it's so helpful to everybody. And even that girl, right. She posts, like, a recap video. She's, like, this is my makeup a week later, like, following the tips. And it was, like, she looks like a different person.
Okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to film, like, a current makeup routine.
Yeah, and then, like, send your whole routine, so and then I'll just pick the biggest, like, problem areas. And, okay.
I feel like you say it so nicely, too, that it's not, like, mean or offensive.
She's not, like,
I feel
like bashing people. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's educational and helpful.
Yeah, and that's the thing, right? Like, it's, yeah, I'm not like, oh, your makeup sucks, or, like, you have bad products.
Yeah, you're really bad.
Like, yeah, it should be, like, an empowering experience, because, like, I'm there to help you, right? Like, that's why. I'm not there to judge you. Like, not everybody is blessed to have been doing makeup for 10 years and doing trial and error of figuring out what works and what doesn't on different face shapes. Like, only a makeup artist has learned that, really. Mm-hmm. It's about getting the reps in, but... yeah, those are the things that irk me, placement. But that's due to all of this content we consume, not knowing how to apply it, right?
Yeah. Okay. True. Amazing. And then, do you have any predictions for the beauty or skincare space for 2025? Like, what's the next, like, most hyped ingredient or hyped product, you think? Like, yeah.
Well, I definitely think that blush blindness is not going everywhere, and I'm, like, so happy about that. Like, I just love, like, a nice complexion that has color and life to it. I predict, honestly, that we – and you can kind of slowly see it in some videos that are rolling out. Like, I saved a couple yesterday. I'm like, ooh, I want to do that. I think we're going to slowly get back into this, like, sultry eye, like, waterline, tight line. Like, I think we're going to get back into that era a little bit. Very, like, Kim K, like, with, like, the waterline where it's, like, kind of smoked out a little bit. And I would love to see it, because I think even for me, which will be a part of this, you know, glow up I'm doing with, like, my new wardrobe and stuff. Like, yes. I feel like I've been so basic with my makeup because, like, that's just been the look, right? Like, we just have a really simple eye. For me, I just pop on a lash and that's it. But I think that we're going to start seeing a little bit more dimension in the eye department. And I think that's exciting because it's really cool how you can enhance your eye shape using like liners and stuff. And you kind of see that even with a lot of brands, like they're kind of focusing more on different eyeshadow sticks and like mascara colors. But I'm not really into color. I'm still a neutral girl at heart and I always will. But yeah, I think we're going to see more glam coming back. But like 90s, like, yeah, like I think like 90s glam, you know, like not out there like crazy, but some drama for sure. And I'm not mad about it. And I'd say that fashion's kind of following that wave as well.
Yeah, totally. Love a little smoky, sultry eye.
Yeah, right?
Cool. Okay, I'm excited.
Okay, well, last thing is, where can everyone find you on socials?
Yeah, so my name, it's Gretzi Parth, so G-R-E-T-Z-I-E Parth, and I'm on Instagram and TikTok. I have a YouTube too, but I'm very slacking on there, so you will not find me actively uploading at this very moment. And then the brand itself, it's linked in my own bio, obviously, but the brand name on Instagram, TikTok, and then our website is BU, so B-E-I-E-U, and then BU.com. And yeah, I'm so excited for this episode to come out. Thank you, girls, for having me on. I'm like, I feel so inspired. I'm like, wow, okay, maybe I am a good makeup artist. I just didn't make like videos.
Wait, no, this is so awesome. Brand on LTK, or am I making that up?
Yes, it just launched on LTK. I just haven't shared that yet.
That is amazing.
I really wanted to be on LTK because I feel like from a legitimacy purpose, like I personally get annoyed when a brand isn't on LTK. Because it's just really convenient for us to like link things for people and it's there. Like it just lives there. But also too, yeah, for like creators or, you know, people, they generally like it. Like I'm all about, you know, supporting, like you get the dough if you are pumping a product. Like I don't expect anybody to work for me for free. But yeah, we are on LTK now. So that's really awesome. Exciting. And yeah, it's just really convenient for me with my own tutorials because people are like,
yeah, now you can
send those
it.
Links and then they're like, where's the under eye roller? Where's the cream? But I obviously wasn't like launched yet. So now just an organic way, like I never want to be that founder that's like, oh, and buy this because it's mine. Because, you know, yeah, of course, I'm the founder of the brand, but like the brand isn't about me. Like it's actually about everybody else. So it's just a nice way for me to conveniently, you know, still include it in the product list and it doesn't get lost among all of my other Sephora favorites.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I feel like this was
congratulations again.
A good episode. Thank you so much. Yes. Congrats on all your success so far. And this was such a fun conversation. Yeah. And I feel like we just had the best time at Coachella. So we're like,
I know. We did. We got to do it again.
To see this.
I know.
We got to do it again. Sooner, though. I'm like, that's still like a lot of ways okay. away.
Honestly, well, just let us know anytime you're in Palm Springs. Yeah. We'll come visit. It's not totally. Too far from us. So
I would love that.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, Gretzi.
Thank you. We'll chat soon.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks so much for listening. We hope you guys loved this episode.
Don't forget to subscribe for new episodes every Monday. Leave us a rating and review, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.